Know your church fathers. Gregory of Nazianzus was the bishop of Constantinople in the 4th century. He wrote important works on the Trinity and the person of Christ. Gregory described the relationship between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and taught that Jesus is fully God and fully man. His arguments are still in use today. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hip, hip, hoo! That's it, just hip, hip, hoo. This is Wretched Radio. Can't hip, hip, hooray yet, because it's going to be another year before the Presbyterian Church finalizes their position on Christian nationalism. But I was so encouraged by the pre-report that they issued at their now concluded General Assembly in Louisville, Kentucky. We affirm God has called his people to bear courageous witness to Christ's lordship. A call that does not change with the changing cultural context. His lordship is relevant to every sphere of life. We affirm the mission of the institutional church is to make disciples of all nations by proclaiming the good news of Christ and administering the means of grace. Yea, to the Presbyterians, the focus must be on the propagation of the gospel, not in the conquering of governments. The debate can continue, but can we all agree our primary responsibility on this planet is to make disciples, to proclaim his excellencies, to give a reason for the hope that lies within us? That's what changes a nation. Every single time. If you want more Christian politicians, we need more Christians. If you want more Christian-like legislation, we need more Christian legislators. How does that happen? The role of the church is to evangelize, to proclaim the gospel so that God makes Christians and the government will be affected by it. The nation, society, governments will be affected by the number of Christians. And that is why Jesus gave us our mandate. Keep your priorities straight. Don't look to the government. How many verses do we need to warn us? Don't put your trust in horses and chariots. Don't put your efforts into things that are temporal. We're in the eternal business. Yeah, we have current concerns, of course, but they pale in comparison to what the length of eternity and the souls that will be spending that eternity in hell. That's our business. And the Presbyterian Church, I think, made that emphatically clear. And to them I say, hip, hip, hoo. The spread of the gospel, they write, the progress of the kingdom of Christ in this world and the building of the church in every nation depends upon the blessing of the Spirit of God and the ministry of the word and the faithful, even costly, testimony of God's people. It does not require the assistance of the civil magistrate. Indeed, in many places around the world, our brothers and sisters in Christ suffer injustice and persecution at the hands of tyrannous civil magistrates, yet their gospel flourishes nonetheless. Christ will build his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail over it. Strong and needed. We deny that political solutions. Okay, here's a word that I would actually have struck from their document. They said, we deny that political solutions alone. I'd have taken out the word alone. We deny political solutions, whatever their merits, can address the deepest needs of our society or ensure the survival and progress of Christian values, institutions, or churches. We want a good government, but we don't need one. The church is our focus. The church is our care. The bride of Christ is what we want to see being pure and unblemished and growing. We don't need the government for that. We'd like it to be fair and to protect us. We'd like that. But we don't need the government. We're the church. We're the more important institution. I think that's something that feels lacking in so many conversations about Christian nationalism. Even people that are probably good churchmen and women, the government, it's like, yeah, it's important. Nowhere near as important as the church. We've got bigger business to be involved in. We've got more important issues going on here. We have the souls of men, women, and children. The church is the bride of Jesus Christ. The government is a minister. We can't forget that. Our business is church business primarily. And when we put so much energy and activity into government, now please note, anybody can get involved in government. You can work in government. That's your calling. You do that and you rock on. But even you cannot forget the church is more important. And you still have an obligation and a responsibility to your local church to serve it, to participate in it, and to do the one another's with one another. From the document that was delivered at the PCA convention, we engage in political activity, as we engage in political activity, theological faithfulness requires love for neighbor, zeal for the salvation of the lost, and a growing desire for the glory of God and the discipleship of the nations. And no political program can bear that fruit apart from the Spirit's blessing and the ministry of the word. That is another needed word these days. When we remember it's more important to see somebody born again than to convert and become a Republican, that's going to perhaps temper our speech. Temper. It's going to temper our speech. It's going to cause us to ask, okay, if I say this, if I press on this, what effect is that going to have on my more important mission, which is to make disciples? This might be helpful for you because this is an issue inside of your church. Now, there is Christian nationalism, as we've been defining it. It's not my cup of tea. And I have a different position on the issue. And yet I believe that these are brothers and sisters. There is one critique, though, that I would have to say is an admonition toward those who are in the Christian nationalist camp. If you want to be a Christian nationalist and that is kind of your thing, and you want to be a member of a good Bible-believing church that doesn't affirm Christian nationalism, it is your responsibility to keep it to yourself and not be a troublemaker. That is a needed word because I've seen it. I know it. I talk to pastors. There are those who will go into a church or that are in a church and they have caught a great deal of enthusiasm for Christian nationalism and they are disrupting a local body. Don't do that. Don't do that. If it's that important to you, then go find a church where they really are about that. Then go find those people, but do not disrupt and overtip a church and cause nothing but grief for a godly man who is trying to shepherd the sheep of Jesus Christ. This is an issue that's big, and it is one that will make its way into Alpharetta Bible Church. We've had lovely people come and visit, and they've just decided they don't want to be a part of our church because we're just not strong enough in the Christian nationalist strain. And bless them as they go, and I'm not saying that in a Southern sarcastic kind of way. Bless them as they go. My point in sharing that is certainly not to be snarky toward them. It is to simply reveal this is happening inside of churches. It's a big deal. And this document, I think this is very pastoral of the Presbyterian Church of America. They gave advice for navigating conversations about Christian nationalism. This is worth our time. So this is for pastors, elders, anyone who engages in these conversations. Keep these principles in mind. Listen before responding. They write, a lot of people drawn to Christian nationalism are responding to genuine cultural crises, like the marginalization of Christian moral convictions in public life. Yep. We see things that are hostile to the Christian faith. Yep. And the sense the church has retreated from the public square at precisely the moment when its voice is most needed. That is what motivates a lot of people to be attracted to Christian nationalism. And they have some valid concerns. Most certainly, we affirm those. It's a response that we're debating here. They write, these concerns are legitimate, even if we disagree with the proposed solutions. An elder who dismisses these concerns out of hands will be losing an opportunity to shepherd. So listen, we can even be sympathetic. I get it. I see it. We don't like it either. It's the solution that we need to dive into the Bible with a very good, consistent hermeneutic to find what our response should be. They also recommend this. Don't be tempted to treat all political disagreement as a spiritual problem. A member who holds views associated with Christian nationalism is not necessarily in spiritual danger. Their concern should be with how political convictions affect a person's walk with Christ, relationships within the body, participation in the life of the body, and not with the political convictions themselves. That is a good word, too. They write, the historic Reformed theology, with the Christian nationalism, we need to remember there have been different opinions on this subject in Presbyterian history, and we can make sure that we can respect those that hold to some of those old positions. So if there's a Presbyterian who holds to 1646 instead of 1788, I disagree with it. I totally disagree with it, but they're not heretics. And it doesn't necessarily mean that they're in spiritual danger. And it certainly doesn't mean that we can disrespect them. And then finally, they encourage keep the gospel central, because it's so easy to get into political debates when it comes to the subject of church and state. Keep the gospel central, because that is what the church is about. And if we remember that, honestly, I think the debate over Christian nationalism will abate, but only when we keep the gospel central. That is what will bring so much clarity. This is Wretched Radio.
Trust the science. You've heard it a million times, usually right before someone uses it to shut a conversation down instead of open one up. But science is a tool. It's not a judge. And like any tool, it depends on who's holding it and what they already believe. Think about it. Two scientists can look at the exact same data and walk away with opposite conclusions because each one brought a different worldview to the table. Science also leans on a few things it can't prove: that the universe stays orderly and that our minds can actually grasp truth. Both make the most sense if a rational God made it all. You take him out of the picture and you're left trusting that chaos somehow adds up. That's where In the Beginning with Dr. Jason Lyle comes in. He's a PhD astrophysicist. He'll teach you to read the science headlines without getting played. New episodes of In the Beginning are dropped every single Wednesday on every single podcast platform in existence or at fortisplus.org. Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, finding Bible teachers you can actually trust, it's not as easy as it used to be. There is a lot of content out there, but not all of it's faithful. That's what Fortis Institute is building. We've brought together a team of fellows, people like Tim Challies, Dr. Jason Lyle, Dr. Andrew Walker, Dr. Greg Gifford, Pastor Brad Bigney, Todd Friel, Dr. John Krotz, Libby Clawson, Dr. Adam Tyson, and they're all committed to teaching the word without apology. These aren't influencers. They're not chasing trends. These are serious teachers doing serious work. And the reason that we've been able to bring voices like this together in one place is because of our gospel partners, men and women just like you who find value in what we're doing at Fortis Institute. And if you appreciate what we're doing and you want to be a part of it, would you consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner? Help us to continue building something that matters. Just go to fortisinstitute.org right now. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. Reality TV. We all love it, right? Nah, not so much. It's usually people screaming at each other over nothing, throwing chairs, and making you feel a little bit better about your own family's dysfunction by comparison. It's just entertainment and it's not helping anyone. But you know what is? Transform. This is a different kind of reality TV. Real people walking through real struggles like anxiety and depression and addiction and anger and broken trust and grief. You're watching actual counseling sessions. These aren't actors with scripts. These are real people doing the hard work of change. You'll hear from counselors like Dr. Greg Gifford and Dr. Dale Johnson and Dr. Lou Priolo as they guide these conversations and show you what it looks like when God's Word meets real life. Four seasons of Transformed available right now. That's 52 episodes, and every single one of them is proof that the Bible is sufficient for the stuff we actually struggle with. Transformed, available on Fortis Plus for free. Download it now on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called our sanctuary. Through Christ, we find refuge from God's justice and find a safe haven where we can enter into the presence of the Holy God.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Do you hear it? Do you hear it? It's a Presbyterian alarm. This is Wretched Radio, the Presbyterian Church America. They just concluded their convention, and they wrote a thoughtful statement. It's a pre-statement on Christian nationalism, and they are sounding an alarm. This is what it sounds like from their document. Although the renewed interest in political theology is commendable, we cannot help but be alarmed by the intemperate and unclean speech adopted by some of those who call themselves Christian nationalists. This ought not to be the case. We wish to remind the officers and members of the Presbyterian Church in America that whatever form our political theology may take, and however urgent the perceived problems may be, nothing can justify ungodliness in speech or in conduct. It is sometimes suggested there is a crisis of masculinity in contemporary America, and that much that ails our society in both church and widespread confusion, in many cases, is because there's been confusion about masculinity. And that is a good observation, because I hear that coming from some Christian nationalist camps, that people who don't hold to their political view of church and state are wimpy, sissified, girly-like, losers. And the PCA is saying, no, that's just not the way we talk. They wrote, whatever solutions Christians may offer to these challenges, whether real or perceived, crass language, unclean speech, and disdain for the good name of our neighbors must not be excused. The Bible tells us to avoid irreverent babble, foolish and ignorant controversies. The Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone. And when correction is necessary, it should be carried out with gentleness. And by the way, they actually said that in their report, that if somebody in a PCA church does not adhere to the 1788 confession and they adhere to 1646, that they should not be, unless there's other things involved, love them, be gentle with them, shepherd them, be kind to them. So they're practicing what they're preaching in this statement toward those who are not playing so nice in the Presbyterian sandbox. They wrote, it is true that our Savior was never a weakling or a coward. And that's what I hear from some Christian nationalists. Look at Jesus tip over tables. He was strong. He was a masculine man. And if you don't agree with us, you're not being like Jesus, because he was strong and he was tough. PCA is addressing that. It is also true that from the heart of the sinless Savior, there arose at times a just and holy anger. Yep. But we dare not imply that such observations about our Lord Jesus Christ can validate in us cruelty, belittling, and disrespectful speech or contempt for those with whom we may differ, however profound that difference may be. That is a number of warnings. The alarm bells have gone off in the PCA, and they are needed, and I hope that they are heard loudly and clearly. Now, let's tackle the issue of kinism, because this is also in some Christian nationalist camps. If you recall the definition of kinism as provided by monergism, they call it a heresy. You can be the judge of that. It teaches racial segregation and ethnic homogeneity are biblically ordained and should be practiced by Christians. It promotes the belief that people should live, marry, and worship within their own racial or ethnic group, not can, should, and that mixing races or ethnicities is against God's design. It draws heavily on racial superiority, and though it claims to be based on biblical teachings, it distorts scripture to justify racial segregation and exclusion. Now, this is why they claim it's a heresy. It denies the unity of humanity. Now, my definition of heresy is it compromises a cardinal doctrine. In other words, if you're off on this one, you will be damned. That it's an essential doctrine. You be the judge if you think that this rises to that level. Denial of the unity of humanity, because we're all made in the image of God, we shouldn't be looking at skin color. Two, it's a rejection of the gospel's universality. I'm not trying to defend kinism people, but I wonder if they would say, no, we're not denying that black people and yellow people can get saved. We just think that there should be borders and likes, and they should be marrying one another. Now, I totally disagree with that, but I don't know that they would say that we're denying the gospel in that. Just to be fair, the New Testament's vision is of a multi-ethnic church united in Christ. Amen. It is. I think the Kinnamonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimonimon borders. They use Acts 17 for that. They also believe it's heresy because, as they put it, a twisting of scripture, and it's a distortion of marriage and family because it's a prohibition of against interracial marriage. That is what the kinism position is. I reject it thoroughly. Is it heresy? You be the judge of that. From the PCA document that they just released, we wish to warn the members and officers of the PCA of some expressions of what is called Christian nationalism that embrace forms of anti-Semitism, race realism, and kinism. Under the guise of conservative Christian political discourse, some advocate for the segregation of different ethnicities and cultures and believe that the Bible teaches a view of nations that treats culture and ethnic pluralism as contrary to biblical teaching. And so what they mean by that, by cultural and ethnic pluralism, we mean to affirm nations may legitimately embrace a wide variety of peoples, languages, cultures, and ethnicities. We do not, however, affirm philosophical pluralism, which requires the affirmation of all, even opposing ideological points of view. That was a lot. And I disagree with one of their words that they chose in this, because I don't think you can have multiple cultures inside of a culture. I think you should also have one language inside of a culture. It looks like the PCA is defining that they think that is something that is acceptable inside of a nation, that there can be different languages and different cultures. I agree. Different ethnicities, for sure. Different peoples, for sure. I just happen to think that we need a common language. I think that we need a common culture. Otherwise, you've got warring factions. And history has borne that out plenty of times. But that is a million miles away from kinism, which states, no, you've got to be with your people. Your church, if you're white, it is a white church. If you're black, you only marry black people, and you have black family, and you hang out with black people. That's kinism. I reject that totally. And the PCA is doing likewise. They're saying that is just not something that is anything that they're going to be embracing anytime soon. And you say, is that really an issue? And the answer is yes. Did they need to have a statement in there about racism? The answer is yes, because it's an increasingly attractive position to people. And we're seeing it, and this is so messy, and we're in a season currently in our nation where there are so many different manifestations of grievances that are coming out. We're seeing the anti-Semitism movement that is growing. So we need to be aware that these are conversations that are going on inside of our churches. And Pastor, I don't think that you need to be up to speed on every single cultural thing that's happening out there or every single bad Christian book that's being published. But I do think this is one of them where you would do well to be up to speed on it, because you probably have people in your church who are sniffing. They're interested in this. This kind of scratching an itch that I've got. And you should know how to respond to it. That document might help you, courtesy of the Presbyterian Church of America. Well done. Promise that we would talk about not just the good, but the bad and the ugly conventions. Here's the bad. PCUSA. They voted that clergy monogamy, we're not going to pass that. They said it was a technical difficulty. It was called the requiring ministers of word and sacrament to be monogamous. And they decided they couldn't vote on it because, well, there's some technical difficulties in the language of the proposal. Those objections came from, you guessed it, rainbow people inside of the PCUSA. So they have not been able to conclude that clergy should be monogamous in the PCUSA. Hold on, let me take you to another Presbyterian convention. It's actually the Texas Democratic State Convention that just concluded in Corpus Christi. And you say, what does that have to do with being Presbyterian? It's because that's James Tallarico's denomination.
You already understand.
This is the speaker.
They love to come after one of us, singling us out. So hear me out. Next time they say that James is trans, we're all trans.
Did you catch that? When they say James is trans, we're all trans. And they're applauding at the Democratic Presbyterian Convention. Horrible line, by the way.
When they say James is a gay tofu-eating vegan, we're all gay tofu-eating vegans.
Solidarity for James Tallarico. Hold on. Here's the best part.
And when they say James is going to hell, we'll say we're all going to hell.
That is ugly. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.